just heard you offer the apology for all the monsters of our times.
Is that correct?
Welcome to the Midnight Movie Maniacs podcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly movie review that takes place during the midnight showing of new movie releases. And now your hosts, AJ and Martin.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Midnight Movie Maniacs. This week, we are all seeing a double feature. Tell us about the first movie, Martin.
Well, it's a monster double feature. Right?
Oh, you're funny.
I've been working on these all week.
Martin has failed to announce that we're twinsies today.
That too, yes. Same outfit. Good job.
Yeah.
Not even organizing it, which
it's
is way
weird, because like my legs are sexy, but your torso is sexier. You put us together and we're a hot guy.
Yeah. There you go.
We're a hot guy.
So this week we are seeing Monsters University and the Zombie World War Z, the zombie movie.
You were about to say Zombie Kill Squad.
I was
weren't you?
About to say Zombie
Kill
Squad.
Thinking right
it would be a good movie. But, no, World War Z, tonight in the RPX 3D, which will be fun.
I don't know, I'm kind of 3D'd out after Man of Steel, man.
Yeah, but, and I don't see how this movie could be in 3D with all the fast motion zombies, but, it was either that or try and figure out how to see both these movies at weird times.
So, the first one we're seeing is Monsters U, which is not normally our usual style of movie, but Monsters Incorporated was one of the very first Pixar films to come out and is such a staple and landmark in Pixar history and Disney history. I'm a big fan of it, so we just came up to Monsters U, and I'm sure Martin's trying to score points with his girlfriend. Right?
I want to see it just as much as he does, so.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm trying to score points with my kid. He's 18. But yeah, I'm a huge fan of the first one. This one is kind of a prequel.
Yeah, so this is a prequel. Before they were the monster team of Mike and Sully, they were back in college, and apparently they were competing with each other. So this is before Boo, so no cute little kid, like, adding comedic relief.
See, that's what I'm concerned about, because with no Boo, like, how cute and comedy. I mean, we see with Despicable Me 2 coming out, but the memes are very predominant in the film. So obviously they know that it's a bankable resource. Without Boo, do you think we're going to have that option?
Well, I'm wondering what they're going to show about humans in the movie. Because this is all about them being in college, learning to become scarers, which is no longer relevant in the Monsters world. You know, after Monsters, Inc., it's now about laughing. So is this just kind of a movie to introduce us to why there's such a fear of humans? Or maybe there was some sort of interaction with humans back then that we don't know about? And then we'll get a Monsters 2 somewhere down the line where Boo's grown up and comes back. And
do you think we'll see Boo's parents?
I don't think so. I think maybe we'll see Boo's door, and that's about it. I don't expect to see much else in terms of humans. I don't know what to expect from that part of it. That's what I think is really weird about going back prequel-wise. You know, we've already seen Finding Nemo has a sequel coming out, Finding Dory, who was one of the cute favorite characters from that series, and now they're going to make the whole movie around her.
So now you bring up another point that I want to touch base on. This is the second movie series that they've had a sequel to in Pixar Universe, first being Cars. And that Cars has part three coming out called Planes. Do you think now we're going to be seeing a lot more of these sequels? And if so, which movie would you like to see a sequel to?
Well, after Toy Story 3 making grown adults bawl their eyes out, I think it was time for Pixar to say, yeah, let's keep latching onto this. For other movies, I want to see Incredibles 2 still.
Right? I think everybody is waiting on that one.
That's the one I want to see. I spent a week at E3 where Disney Infinity was being blasted everywhere, their new video game from Disney, and their main, one of the biggest characters that they're putting out there is Mr. Incredible and The Incredibles. And Syndrome is a big piece of it, too. And, like, there's just so much of the story and the world in it, and they seem to be pushing it a lot, so it's obviously still popular if they think they can base a whole video game around it. So, you know, when are we going to get that sequel? That's the sequel I want to see.
But at the same time, you know, The Incredibles is, if any property that they have, a video game property,
mm-hmm.
seeing superheroes and how big they are right now. So, I mean, it could be, you know, just because of that they added them in there. However, I would love to see a sequel. I mean, that's one of my favorites. That and Wall-E.
Yeah, Wall-E was cool. But I think Incredibles would be the way to go. You know,
especially since they left
Marvel.
It open.
Yeah, they bought Marvel. Hey, Disney has Marvel now, so maybe they won't be doing it.
The Cinema Pre-Show made
so
for you.
We'll have to see where it goes.
Well, anything else you wanted to bring up before we take a break?
Nope. I'm ready for the scary monsters and the laughable zombies later tonight.
Alright, well, so we'll take a break. We'll come back after this movie leading into World War Z with our expectations for that one.
Yeah,
all right, so here we are. We've just saw Monsters U. Martin, what was your opinion of it?
It was fun. It was definitely a kid movie. I think a lot less, you know how they try and sneak in adult jokes through them? So I didn't see a lot of that.
No, I thought I liked the movie, but I thought they brought their A game when it came to the effects and graphics.
Yeah, it looked, we watched the original one last night, and then to see this tonight and to see the definition, it was a lot better than a lot more high definition appearance of the skin on Mike Wazowski.
Fingernails.
Yeah, the fingernails were really clear.
And that bust looked real.
Yeah. So it was really cool to see the improvement from, you know, where they came from to where they are now with that technology of animation.
Yeah, cool. We all liked it. What'd you think, Vanessa?
Oh, I loved it. Like you said, we watched it the other night, the first one, and it was cute, and I didn't need the adult humor. It was so entertaining. I did think that it needed to end, like, twice. So, it kind of...
Oh, this is where... Oh, no.
Oh, no. Keep, oh, you know what? I have to go potty really bad now, so shut it down.
I will put one gripe out there. It wasn't in continuity.
No.
From the original film to this film, according to the first film, Mike and Sully knew each other in fourth grade.
Correct,
and
yeah.
And
they said that.
And then they meet in college in this one. So that was interesting. But yeah, it was really cool, some of the other stuff. Like, we were talking about, we were wondering if the Abominable Snowman would show up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing between Boggs and Sully, that was cool that was in there. And then to see Nathan Fillion as a bad guy. I've seen him once as a bad guy in Dr. Horrible, where he wasn't really that bad a bad guy. This time around, he's kind of a douchebag. And it was funny. It fit.
Yeah, I dug the movie. I thought it was, I was really into it. And it didn't go the way I thought it would be. You know, I mean, sure, he was the hero and all that, and you kind of expected it, but not in the way they did it. Like, they had so many opportunities where he was the hero, but then it was not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really liked about it.
Best part of the whole thing, though, was that little kid that was a few rows behind us that kept roaring at the perfect time in the movie. Like, it was a silent moment, and you just heard this kid do the perfect, like, Mike Wazowski roar, and it was hilarious.
You know, I was going to do that roar to Gage, but, you know, we started to see this movie.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want him soaking wet during the whole film. What did you think of it?
I thought it was a really good movie. I like the way they tied in the first movie into the second, or the second movie into the first. It was really good, and the acting was great, and, you know, the graphics were wonderful, so, yeah.
And we're moving on. So, now we are here seeing World War Z.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you guys have been on the site or been online or anything lately, but Max Brooks has gone on record to say that this movie just borrows the name of the book. That's it. I feel kind of bad for him in that aspect because I know he, you know, poured his heart and soul into the book and then went out and busted his ass trying to get the movie made. I mean, it was in pre-production for a good 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was finally picked up and by Plan B Entertainment, which is Brad Pitt's company, and apparently they just took the title and went with it. So I have no expectations for this movie whatsoever other than seeing a bunch of ants on speed. So, what about you?
I saw Max Brooks speak about this at Phoenix Comic Con 2012, where he basically said, I got a check for my book. They asked me for some information about it. They've consulted me about it. It's going along. I hope to see it in theaters soon. Cool. 2 months ago, we start to hear from Max Brooks, this is not my movie, I wish my name wasn't on it, blah, blah, blah.
Pulling a Stephen King, Stanley Kubrick kind of thing.
Yeah, and then Brad Pitt starts showing up at screenings a few weeks ago and pimping this movie out Like, it is, like, a, you know, people are going to miss out if they're not there. So he brings his name to it to start getting some clout for it. And it was interesting at that point in time, I read an article where somebody said that book adaptation movies do not have to be about the book. You know, yeah, they're using the title from this book, but the way they're telling this movie can still be a good story. And a lot of people are coming out and saying Rotten Tomatoes saying that it's a good movie. Everyone should go see it. You know, it's a good zombie movie. Whether it'll be the best zombie movie ever, you know, I'm sure that's up for debate. But it was an important perspective to see that people are saying, you know, don't look at the book when you come into this. And it's really a good idea because there's a lot of movies where we have gone, and there's movies coming out later this year. Ender's Game, which we've talked about.
Oh, don't get me started on that one.
Yeah, like we're worried about it coming out. And what it's going to be like compared to the book. We already are well aware that it's not going to be like the book. So what do we do with that? Do we go into this movie hating them? No. We should come into them, I think, without an expectation of it better be the book or I'm not going to like it automatically. So I'm going into this as this is a zombie movie with Brad Pitt, and I may sort of root for Brad Pitt to get eaten or knocked off a plane or a helicopter. I don't know. We'll see what happens, though. But, you know, like, it's just a zombie movie to me, and that's what I'm here for. I'm not here because it's a book movie.
See, I'm kind of coming from the opposite place. Like, Max Brooks' book is probably one of the greatest influences on why I started writing zombie comics. So, you know, even borrowing a little bit of style from him in my writing. However, unlike everybody else, I'm walking in here knowing it's not going to be like the book. But to say that the book itself, the movie adaptation of the book, is not the reason I'm here would be lying. You know, the World War Z, the whole just ambiance of it is why I decided to come to the movie and pay the extra money to see it 3D IMAX, RTX. But if it's not like the book, I'm not going to get disappointed, which I already know. Hopefully, though, it'll be a good movie on its own. There have been some cases where, you know, the adaptations just don't line up, but it's still a good film. But, like, when it comes to movies like Ender's Game, I'm already have no hopes for it whatsoever in comparison to the book. But I'm hoping that it's a good standalone on its own. So
now, to go back to that, we're here in an RPX screening at the San Bernardino RPX in 3D. This is it was a convenience of time.
Right.
We were seeing the first movie double feature. We couldn't catch the early screening of World War Z, RPX. I don't see a need for 3D on this.
Absolutely not. I wouldn't mind seeing it in RPX,
regular,
but not the 3D.
Yeah.
3D, yeah.
So this will be interesting to see and to see if that affects the movie at all. We've been sitting through quite a few 3D movies this year. We saw Iron Man 3, we saw Man of Steel. Going into this, I don't think Man of Steel needed it. I really didn't think Iron Man needed it. You know, I don't see it needing this.
Star Trek as well, didn't we? Right here at
table 12. That's right. Yeah, we saw Star Trek IMAX 3D. So, I mean, we've seen all these big movies, and none of them seem like they were necessary for it. It looked cool in Star Trek, but I don't see an absolute necessity for it. And same thing, Monsters University has a 3D. There's no way that needed to be in 3D.
No, that was beautiful on its own. I would love to see it in RPX, the higher definition, but on standard digital definition, it was gorgeous. And like I said, it was very realistic, so I didn't see a need for 3D. And the same with this, I think actually 3D is going to hurt this movie with all the fast-moving action and everything that's going on. It's going to be hard to focus on. It's very much like Transformers films. Very hard to focus on. I think that's what killed Man of Steel for me as well. There's just too much. And so I'm interested in seeing it on standard, but I think 3D will be the death of this movie for me.
Yeah, and it's getting kind of out of control that everything's going into 3D without a major necessity. You know, there's some films where it works really well, but it doesn't seem like studios put any sort of thought into it anymore. It's, let's make a movie, make sure it's going to be in 3D. So we can charge some more for the tickets, kind of thing. Like, it doesn't seem like anything out there is made with the idea that, oh, this would look awesome in 3D, so let's make it in 3D.
It's starting to turn into, like a niche market, like a, I saw it on 3D, like, you know, like a higher echelon of a,
yeah. Well, you couldn't see 3D at home, necessarily, was originally, I thought,
right,
the plan. But now we have 3D TVs.
Right, even 3D video games and whatnot, and so now it's like kind of like a snotty thing to say, well, I saw it in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, then I'm sorry for your eyes.
If movie studios and movie theaters want to give me a better experience than at home, I want noise-canceling headphones, a Lazy Boy recliner, and the ability to have a drink while I watch a movie. If you want to charge me more for it, that's what I'll pay more for. So.
And 3D in the likes of Captain Neo.
Yes.
And, you know.
What is that, 1980?
Hey, you know what? Michael Jackson was in my face, so, you know.
Yeah. That, you know, I'm a Captain
Neo.
I was
old enough for it not to be a crime.
Yeah. I was a fan, a young fan of Michael Jackson before the crazy. And, yeah, let's not knock that too much. But that would be fun. You know, the theater shaking and bouncing.
Right, something along those lines, something along Star Tours. You know, 4D, I believe they call it.
Four-dimensional. You know, El Capitan Theater does Nightmare Before Christmas every year now in four dimensions. And it's awesome. It's an experience. It's a movie experience. It's different than what you could get at home. And those are the kind of things that I think that a 3D should be. RPX now, that's something that I think is worth paying a little bit more for.
I'm really enjoying the whole RPX experience, especially with the loudspeakers and the higher definition on the screen. That's
comfy, rocking seat.
Right, these chairs are awesome. Every seat is a good seat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really enjoying that much better than I did IMAX.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the 3D, I think there's just no happy. There needs to be... I mean, Texas Chainsaw tried to touch on it this past year, where, like, you know, saws and everything was coming at your face. It deserved 3D.
That's old school 3D,
right,
too. Like, you know, the coming out of the screen thing. We don't see a lot of those tricks too often anymore. I think Resident Evil was the last one we saw that in. So,
and I think you were saying before that the only time that 3D had helped the film recently was in Oz.
Yeah,
because when we saw Oz, I hated it, but you saw it in 3D and said you enjoyed it better.
Yeah, earlier this year, Oz was way better in 3D. It added a lot more definition to the picture.
And it made the cheesy graphics look better.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things where you really got to pick and choose. And I think this is one of those movies where they didn't pick and choose. This is, let's just throw some 3D in there and, yeah.
Whereas before, we were picking not to see films that weren't shot in 3D, where instead converted, but now it seems like we're seeing a lot more mix of both.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really seeing a difference in either way. So, that's just me.
Yeah. So I don't know how much that'll bother World War Z. I'm more excited to just see what this story's about and how they, well, I guess not what this story's about, but how they portray this story, their version of it.
And in true, you know, support fashion, Barton and I are wearing our CKS shirts, so I don't know what that means.
If a zombie apocalypse breaks out while we are in the theater,
we hide behind James. Yeah. We have a cool shirt, and James can identify us and make sure we're okay. Hi, James. Okay?
Yes.
James has got our back all the way. So, Vanessa, expectations?
I've got a lot of negative feedback towards it, so I'm going in there just hoping it's just entertaining. That's about it.
So, you want, you know, Joaquin Phoenix. Are you not entertained? Is that Joaquin Phoenix? No. Who is that? Gladiator?
Gladiator.
Gladiator. Yeah, there you go. So you just want to be entertained and smile and have fun?
Pretty much, yeah.
Cool. Alrighty, so we'll go ahead and take our break and watch the film, and we'll talk to you guys after the film is over. Oh, quick info for anybody. Monsters University, there's nothing after the credits, so don't have to worry about waiting for it. Alright, guys, thanks. Alright, here we are at the end of World War Z. What did you think, Martin?
It was cool. It wasn't... You know, I don't know. I didn't have expectations coming in because I erased them. So it was actually pretty good. Like, I liked that it was kind of a story. Like, there was a path that they went down. There was a lot of convenient moments and, like, how the fuck would that ever happen moments. But, yeah, I was entertained. I was, you know, there were parts where I was jumpy and, like, suspenseful. And
did you actually jump?
No. The 3D actually blurred the one that... kind of freaked me out, so I didn't catch the whole gist of it, but yeah, no, I didn't jump as much as I thought I would have from someone, like, there was a lot of those pop-out moments, you know,
right,
where I thought I would jump, but after the first one getting all blurred out by the 3D, I didn't really, the rest of them kind of didn't have any effect. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I saw a lot of ZKS stuff in there.
Yeah.
And then a lot of places where had they followed the ZKS rules, especially uniform wise, they'd be all right. But while it didn't follow the book verbatim, it kind of took the theme of the book, where the investigative reporter is going to all these different places, finding the history and following the path of the zombie from Patient Zero on forward. So that was very kind of cool to see, including a lot of names, which was also really nice to see. However, it was a very, very intense movie. And I did not expect
the suspense.
Yeah. And just, yeah, you're right, a lot of convenience, especially the Israel scene. He just happens to be places. But, yeah, I kind of dug it. I mean, I thought it was, like I said, really intense, really cool. And, you know, I thought the running CGI zombies would bug me, and honestly, they didn't really bother me that much. They didn't really focus on them.
I actually liked the zombie take here. It was a different kind of zombie. So they wouldn't, like, stumble. They wouldn't... I don't think they would run around things, which was kind of weird to me. Like, they were running into glass and running into walls and you know, running over each other. That kind of made sense, but there were parts where they were running around things where I was kind of like, eh. But for the most part, they were good zombies. There was that one zombie in the lab that was just, they kept panning
right
back to her, and she was freaking creepy. She needs a makeup Oscar nomination. She needs a Scream Award this year. That lady deserves...
We'll see her on the con circuit, like,
yeah,
in about 10 years.
Yeah.
I was the black zombie in the lab.
And then, you know, can you do the face? Can you do the face?
Right.
Yeah. What you were saying, though, yeah, the book, there's World War Z, the book. And then I think we have World War Z, the movie. They're similar, same title, but I think they kind of created their own areas. Like, they have their own side of the fence on this story, which is kind of cool. And Brad Pitt, you know, they didn't overplay Brad Pitt.
No, I didn't. You know, he had very few lines.
I think
except for the end monologue, I think that's the most he spoke.
Yeah.
But for the most part, he got into character pretty good, and he spoke with purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like he wasn't showing off or anything. He just wanted to get home.
It wasn't
kind of
pretty
cool.
Boy. It wasn't, and the he wanted.
He
to
got
get
his
home.
Ass kicked.
Yeah, and he didn't. He wanted to get home to his family. His family was a big part of his life. They showed that without overdoing that either. Like, it was, there was a lot of places where they could have overdone it, like a lot of movies do, and, you know, it didn't. It actually went through pretty well, and, you know, that was less than 2 hours for a movie. After all the trailers, we've been here for less than 2 hours, and I think they told a pretty good story. I still don't see the leaving it open for a sequel. Like, I could have this and be done with it. I don't need to see two more movies, but I could see how they could do sequels.
I think, I think we had, I can't remember what movie we had seen. Oh, The Purge.
Yeah.
Where side stories
mm-hmm.
would make good sequels, but a direct sequel, like Brad Pitt continuing on,
mm-hmm.
I don't think we'll do it. But I think we'll see side sequels of, like, how other countries were taking care of their zombie apocalypse happening and stuff. What's unfortunate, though, I think when we see World War Z 2, it'll be a direct-to-video or, you know, a softer version like Cinemax or something like that, Showtime, HBO,
mm-hmm.
but not an actual theatrical release.
Or not quality enough for theatrical release, but they may shove it down our throats in 3D.
Right. Like, and unfortunately, I see, like, you know, Children of the Corn, World War Z Part 27,
yeah.
and so on and so forth, and, you know...
The Final Cure, The Cure, or something
right,
like
you
that.
Right, you know, World War Z again.
yeah.
But... That's what I can see coming from this, but for a starter movie, I have to say I kind of dug it. And it, like I said, it was very intense. It wasn't too cheesy. It wasn't a lot of scare tactics. It was just, it was a nice little blend. I did hate the 3D.
Absolutely hate the 3D.
Especially, yeah, it's the same problem I always have when it comes to 3D. These glasses are tinted.
Yeah.
And it's, in dark horror movies like this, it's already dark on the screen, and now I can't see it more because of these damn glasses.
And it was a motion movie. They were on the run.
Right.
You can't... 3D is not meant, I think, for motion. Or they need to advance the technology to handle motion, like Superman. Same thing. Like, it was in motion. You know, you're watching Brad Pitt run. There were slow moments where, yeah, you work and it was clear and you could see it, but there were a lot of blur moments. There were a lot of pop... suspense thriller kind of moments that I was like, kind of ruined it.
Now, in a funny side note, we saw the trailer for RIPD. And
terrible.
But it actually looked like it used the 3D.
It looked like it used 3D, but it looked terrible.
Right.
So I definitely, that one's already off the list for 3D. I'll see it in RPX, but I don't want to see it in 3D.
Right.
So. Pacific Rim, now, that trailer.
Which one? Oh.
I don't care what anybody says. We're seeing that shit RPX, 3D. Better be quiet in this goddamn theater, because we're all going to be peeing our pants. Embarrassed.
That's just 2 weeks away, man. And we got to go to Comic-Con after that. I don't know how that's going to handle. How that's going to work out, but... Vanessa, what did you think?
I liked it. I think it was kind of sad everyone was hating on it so much because it turned out to be a pretty good movie, so everyone could shove it.
And there you have it from Vanessa.
So don't take the Max Brooks saying it's not my book, so don't go see it. Take it as Max Brooks didn't want it to be called his book. He probably, you know.
Well, you know, I don't think I ever actually saw him say don't go see it.
Right.
He's just saying it's just not my book.
Not my book. So he didn't want his name attached as it was his book. So that's cool. But it was still a good movie. And I understand now a lot of the people who are coming out saying, yeah, this is a really good movie. And I can see why Brad Pitt's out there pushing this movie.
Right. I think, honestly, this is probably one of the better Brad Pitt films I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Sorry, the overall consensus is that everyone dug it. Gage, you've shamed me once again. Jumped like 4 or 5 times.
I did. I apologize. I even said out loud throughout the movie that I'm ashamed. But you know, I was really impressed though with this movie. I was expecting a Brad Pitt movie, and it was less of one than I thought it was going to be. So
there you have it, Mr. Jumpy Pants liked it as well. So yeah, that probably wraps it up. And real quick, there is no anything after the credits. We should probably be mentioning this more often.
Yeah.
Nothing after the credits. So we had no need to sit through it. But, alright, yeah, guys, so we'll catch you next week. What do we see next week?
It's still up for debate. The Heat and White House Down with, you know, the president that wears Nikes.
The Heat.
So it sounds like the Heat's winning right now.
Which one is the Heat? Remind me.
Sandra Bullock in Miss Congeniality 3.
We can't double team it again?
I think we can double team it again.
I mean, it's two buddy movies, right?
Yeah. It's the summer of buddy movies, though.
Right.
We just saw Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, but, you know,
I
just saw that Channing Tatum, like, I'm going to Channing your Tatum.
Yeah.
And also,
you're done. You've seen the movie.
I saw This is the End. So, like, I kind of have a new respect for Channing Tatum. I don't like him, but...
I don't want to see that movie. Can you watch that movie, and
then we can broadcast it? You know what? We'll do a movie that's fun.
How about?
There you go. Let's take we're seeing the Heat next week. All right, guys. We'll catch you next week.